Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey, you guys, and welcome to another episode of Just the Sip. I have a very special lady here today. She is from my home state. She has been a part of my life since Danity Kane and Making the Band came on the scene. I fell in love with her the first time I saw her on screen, and I've fallen in love with her music all over again as a solo artist. Please welcome Dawn Richards, everybody. We're about to have a full Kiki right now.
Let's have a key.
By the way, the first time I ever saw Making the Band and you came on screen, you know, and it was Dawn Richards. And I'm like, that's Dawn Richard.
Yeah, they never
under,
get it right.
I'm from Louisiana.
They never get it right. And it's wild because I grew up always being that. So I never thought, like, in my mind, it just seemed natural for people never to get that wrong. And like my entire career, they just been butchering that. Such an easy name. But I realized, you know, New Orleans has such a staple for French culture that when you leave it, they don't think in that same way. I never thought that would be an issue, ever.
Yeah. It's really nuts because a lot of people don't know this, but when you grow up in Louisiana, you know, a lot of times people believe, and I grew up in the 90s, where if you were going to make it out of that city, if you were going to make it out the hood, you had to throw a basketball, you had to throw a football, had to dribble a basketball,
or
you had to rap. You had to be a rapper in order to get out. So was that your motivation in music? Was it to get out of a certain space?
That's wild that you say that. What's crazy is nobody was coming to New Orleans during that time. Right. When I like the only influences we had for like pop culture or being like, because I always loved like dance, pop, alternative music. And there was not a lot of that in New Orleans, let alone. Right. So my examples was Cash Money, No Limit.
Yes.
Right. And then.
Mia X.
Right. Mia X and Katie Redd and.
Yes. Big Frida.
And Frida came later. Katie Redd and Messy Maya was my era. God rest Messy Maya's soul. But that was, and then on the other side of that was, like you said, football, sports. So like there was no, like the closest pop icon we had was Britney Spears from Kentwood, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. So like playing a black girl trying to do pop or alternative was just not, you couldn't do that in New Orleans. And that was the lane that I wanted to be in. So I had to leave to even get a shot, because there wasn't anything that looked like me for what I was trying to go for. So I even auditioned for Making the Band in Orlando because the closest auditions was Orlando and Atlanta.
Wow. And how did you find out about, because a lot of times too, you'll have, what I love about being from Louisiana is like, you'll have a friend who heard about the audition.
Right.
And who will be like, oh, I went to school with this girl, Dawn. She can sing and dance. We gonna send this to Evelyn's niece down the street.
Evelyn and them.
Yes.
To be perfectly honest, so I was dancing in the NBA. I danced for the New Orleans Hornets. At the time, they were the Hornets, not the Pelicans. I was a senior in college. I was stern. My parents were stern. So I went to school rather quickly. So I was 19 and I was a senior in college. And I was hustling and I was to make side money. I was an NBA cheerleader. And I did that because I wanted to sing and they were very political. So if you didn't know somebody's cousin, you couldn't sing the national anthem.
Yes.
So the choice was to sing the anthem. I was like, well, I could dance. So I auditioned to dance so that I could sing the anthem.
Wow. At the game.
So like I wound up making the dance team, and that then helped me like say, okay, well, the girls knew I could sing. They knew I could sing. And so then they were like, yo, there's this show you should try out for on television. Diddy is looking for girls. And I was like, first of all, nobody from New Orleans ever makes it on a television show.
No one.
And then I was like, second, I had tried out for American Idol and they told me my tone was a bit too different for what I was, you know, for that show. I went all the way through to producers and they were like, your tone is not belty. You have a tone, but it doesn't like belt, right? It's more
you have
of
too
a,
much soul for them.
It's an aesthetic, right? Because the Fantasia had soul, but she was strong, like yeah, like you know, church.
That just wasn't
necessarily my sound. So they were just like, it's too stylized, you won't do well. So I
Isn't it weird that,
it.
Like, for a black girl, they want you to be churchy and they want you to be Jennifer Hudson?
If you're if you're that, then you got a belt, right? You got to be that, right? And I was kind of like, dang, I don't even know if I should try out because I already knew what that was. But the girls was like, no, you should, because they're looking for dancers and singers. And I had been dancing my whole life. So it was like nothing. I was the co-captain of the NBA cheerleader. So I was like, okay, let me dance. Let me figure it out. The only two cities was Orlando and Atlanta. So I just went to Orlando because I had went to Atlanta for the American Idol.
American Idol, bad juju.
Right, bad juju. You already
know. And
too
many black girls. There are too many black girls in Atlanta.
Well, I didn't think about
so
it like that.
I'm going to go showcase in Orlando.
I didn't think about it like that, but I did think it was bad juju. I did think it was bad juju. So I went to Orlando with $200 in my pocket, stayed in a Roach Motel, and I walked like 2 miles to the it was Paris Hilton's club. And I walked because I couldn't afford to stay downtown and try it out. And my first judge was Lorianne.
And she saw it.
She loved it. She loved me immediately. And it was a singing. It was singing first. Andre Harrell liked me too. And he was like, that's different. What's going on there? So I just knew if I could get past the singing, I knew the dance was, I was so fresh with the A count because I was dancing daily. So I understood that choreography.
Yes.
I was receiving choreo and A counts fast because at that time I had been the prime of like my dancing career because we were doing 2, 3, 4, or 5 games a week.
Yeah.
I got past the singing and it was like the A count, all the girl, not everybody could dance.
Oh, you were ready to body.
I was ready. I had my Missy Elliott sneakers, baby.
Yes. Wait.
I had my Missy Elliott high top that came up to here.
Y'all don't even know. Look, I've been in LA for 11 years. I don't have an accent, but anytime I'm across from somebody who has a little bit of an accent, mine comes out. So we're about to start talking in subtitles for y'all's asses.
Yeah.
What I love about this story, and I want to know this, when you were walking those 2 miles with probably now $120 in your pocket because you just spit 80 out.
No, I spent 100, honey. Yeah, because she was expensive.
And you had to get that fresh weave. You had to get that fresh weave before
you
went.
Well, she wasn't even fresh, hon. She was giving you, I was giving you orange, burnt orange weave situation.
She was giving me Christina Aguilera in Dirty.
Yes.
What was going through your mind when you were crossing that highway to get to that audition, knowing that that could change your life?
All I could think of was, I ain't got nothing to lose, you know? So like I got in the line with hope, but kind of like I had already come to the conclusion that like—
It was yours.
It was mine. There is nothing else. And at that time, there was nothing else in New Orleans, right? So like, it couldn't be worse than what it was before. Yeah. So I was just like, let me figure it out and see what happens.
Was this pre-Katrina or post-Katrina?
Pre.
And by the way, let me let you guys know something out there. I'm from 2 hours outside of New Orleans.
Right.
And anytime I say I'm from Louisiana, the first thing people would say in Los Angeles was, oh my God, Katrina.
I know.
And I felt like Katrina kind of got me in a lot of doors.
Yeah.
People wanted to know about the hurricane. And yes, when I was in Baton Rouge, we were devastated. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't like New Orleans, but you could see the aftermath of it.
It affected everybody.
So you didn't even walk in with that, oh my God, she's from Katrina. She has a story behind you because this was before shit happened.
Yeah, no, this was regular New Orleans girl. I was very shy. I was very militant in the sense that like, I just really, I knew that you didn't get shots like this, right? So I came in very much like, and then again, like I said, I was trained at that time because we were literally my body at that point, you know, it was, it's not like being an NBA cheerleader is rough. Like you, it's like we have, you have to be a certain, you get weighed. You have to be a certain size. You have to, like, it's a very strategic, you have to work out. Your body has to, it's very shallow. You have to visually be a certain thing. So at the time, I kind of knew what it was and I was coming into it like a well-oiled machine.
And how long did you have to wait until you got that call that, okay, oh, it was gonna immediate. Be on the show?
So literally the first audition was vocals. And then they sent us, you know, you got that if you made it, then they told you to come back the next day and it was dance. So the thing was the girls that could sing, not like 60% of them didn't really have the a moves. Dance skill. Right. So like once you got past that, I was like, OK, I called my parents and I was like, I made it to the first round. And they were like, no, you didn't. And I was like, yeah. And then I came back. It was 5,000 girls. They picked 3 out of everybody.
My God. No.
And so the next day we just kept dancing and I was like, oh, Lorianne is tough. I love that. Cause that was the kind of teacher that I was normally. Yeah. My mom owned the dancing school. That was kind of like vibe I loved, but I never would have thought. And that evening they picked 3 girls out of the 5,000.
Let me first start off by saying to what I love about Lorianne, and it was almost like you guys were meant to meet each other.
Yeah.
When you learn how to dance in Louisiana, let me first start off by saying there are no numbers. There are no numbers.
No,
it is when she says now, drop it like it's hot.
It's bow. Yes.
Yes. There's no numbers. So when Lorianne comes in with boom, cat, cat, da da da, pa, pa,
right.
People are like, what the?
Yeah, but that's not how my mom taught. That's my how my mom, that was our dance in school. Eight.
100%.
2. Like it's not, yeah. And so like that has carried on with me, even with like, so with my new project, even being indie and being like with the new album and like how my career, the trajectory, dance has always, it got me through the door. It's what saved me constantly. And I still, to this day, lean on the 8 count, even with the work that I have with this new project, Second Line, like everything is this, like it all refers back to, like you just said, New Orleans, the 8 count and what we see it to believe it as. So like, this has been a crazy journey, but it all started with that line.
Wow. And then you got, I mean, look, we all tried out for the real world. I tried out for the real world.
Really?
I mean, at least 4 times. Yeah.
Oh my
because, you
God,
know,
I never would
like
have done
you.
That. I never would have like done the
you.
Real world though. I never would have done
no,
the
no,
real
I would have did it. I would have did it. And let me tell you what I would have did.
Me.
Bitch.
I can't. No.
Oh, they would have hated me too. I would have been the drunk gay dude who never showed up
as
for
you
filming.
Should. As you should. Though. Yes, as
but
you should.
Like you, I thought the real world was my only chance to get out because mm-hmm. I couldn't shoot a basketball. My right. ass didn't rap. Like I wasn't right. juvenile.
I can't.
You know, so, I mean, I didn't know, but it was interesting for me to watch you mm-hmm. on Making the Band and remembering going to school the next day and people just wanting to talk about what had happened.
That's wild.
On Making the Band.
And see, because we didn't see it that way. No, like we didn't even know we were that big. Like we didn't even know, like we were in a home, in a house, you know, like quietly, like no phones, nothing.
But you were ready to like cut. I'm like, I could see it in her face. She's ready to cut some of these hoes right now. Because
no, I wasn't. No, because again, I was working with 25. So NBA, you have 20 girls and they rotate. So you only have 12 to 14 on the court. And each time girls have slots. So every day I was with chicks all the time already.
So you were used to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that was that. I was fine with that. What I, it's just for me, the cameras was jarring because we were not, I'm just real. Like I did New Orleans. It's real like black and white for us. This was a job. I saw it as a competition. So like, I wasn't trying to be friends with nobody. I was trying to figure out, okay, this is, it was strategic. Like,
that,
you know, I'm thinking of it like,
yeah,
that,
no, okay, no, you gotta come
swear to God,
and figure
my mind,
out.
My mind immediately was like, okay, so first off, I knew Aubrey and Dre was going to make the band. Puff would
100%.
Not. Well, because no brand, I was coming from college. I was in marketing. So I was like, no man's going to build these two girls up to then not let the people are invested. There's no way. So I already knew there were 3 slots. I never thought there was 5. So in my mind, every time I stood next to them, I needed to make sure I vibed with them sonically and visually, because my first thought was, it's got to make sense with those 2 girls. I knew that off the gate. But nobody else 100%. Thought that. I never told anybody that, but I knew that. So to me, I was like, okay. And then when I started feeding off of like aesthetically what we were going to look like, I knew there weren't going to be a lot of Black girls. And that threw
and
me
needed
off
a blonde.
Too. He did. Well, they had, and they needed a blonde. So I already, in my mind, look, I was, the Black girls was looking at Aubrey and Dre and them like, we're talented. So we got this. The Black girls was like, we got vocals. We got this. Mm-hmm. And they weren't thinking about the other end of it, which is the marketability, the sale. And the sale to me already told me, we got to fit in with these two girls. It has to aesthetically work with Dre and Aubrey.
This is blowing my mind because
I knew that already. Look,
I talk to people who go on Survivor. I talk to people who go on Big Brother. Everybody has a plan. Everybody, the smart people who get to, you know, the end.
Well, you have to humble yourself because that was
you
never.
Do.
Yeah, the Black girls came in like, we got this. He wants a Black band. And I was like, Johnny Wright wouldn't be here if he didn't want a predominantly Black band, because Johnny Wright only did pop. He wanted white girls. You know, like not in a disrespectful way, but that was, I mean, he had Janet, but the truth is NSYNC, his trajectory was pop. So
yeah.
I just, if you're going to have a manager like that, I knew it wasn't going to be no R&B, Black, all
100%.
Girl. Yeah. So
and we already had Destiny's Child. And we hadn't,
and
you know what I mean?
So
Destiny's
like,
Child hadn't panned out.
That. Right. So my immediate thought was, there's a lot of Black girls here. There is a lot of this. And there's only maybe two slots for
two
Black
slots.
Girls. Right. So like the hunger in me was, I have to stay focused because there's it got to make sense. Like, and then my tone, I thought the only edge I ever thought I ever had was because all the girls were lead singers. I never thought I was going to be a lead singer because my tone was to harmonize. So I love the harmony. The background singing was my thing. So I was looking to blend. How do you like my favorite part? I knew that they needed a lower or a bottom girl, and there weren't no girls trying to take that spot. They were so busy trying to be this
top dollar,
right?
And that's what
and
I
was
about
trying
you.
To blend, right? So every group I was in, I was always partnered with Drea. Always, we were always in the same group. That's the one girl I've always like. When we would get in challenges, she was always the girl I was in the group with. Her and I became the sound, the bulk of DK, because we would sing. She'd sing the melody, and I'd always sing either the octave or against her. So together, the melody, and we became. I think the reason why it was naturally that way is because we were always together in each group. We started to develop a sound.
But you also knew your role and you knew where your strength
was. Yeah, I
was
fine with it. Yeah.
And a lot of times, and you know, I loved all the girls on the show, but I felt like Dee Woods sometimes let her ego get in the way of herself. Because
I think she's great. I think you have to believe in yourself in that way. And here's the thing. I think you could be a lead. And like, I knew I could be that, but I also understood what a group was. And I think what happened with, and I can't speak for Dee because only Dee knows her story, but I feel like in that way, we were not supported as Black women as we should have been in that situation. We were cast aside when I think we could have been valued more as Black women.
I agree
women
with
in that.
That.
So she has every right to feel whichever she felt because her talent spoke to that, just like I felt like all five of us had that ability. The problem with that is in girl groups, aesthetically, they will never let there be five leads. It just won't. Even if we can believe it, the foundation is always going to allow it to be one thing. And here's the gotcha.
Yeah. We saw the Fifth Harmony situation.
Yeah, but here's the gotcha.
Saw how
we
that
lost.
All erupted.
We lost immediately because we had two girls who had a way longer journey and was already popular before us. Like, get into that. Aubrey and Dre was already sustained from a previous show. Aubrey and Dre.
So what were they on before?
Aubrey and Dre had a season before we even came on. They were kept.
Oh my God, hold on.
Malika,
there was
Aubrey,
making
Andrea.
The band one.
That's what I'm trying
and
to
then,
tell you.
Yes.
They brought the Black girls. Dre already was stars. They were popular.
Yes. So I forgot about this.
Say he never would have let them go. They were too big.
Yes.
And when we came, we were really fighting for three spots because no smart person would let those two girls go. They were smart. Puff wouldn't do that. That the numbers would, people wouldn't even invest in us as a girl group if those two girls wouldn't have made it because people had fell in love with them from the previous show, right? So they already had a relationship.
This is the thing that got me though.
Mm-hmm.
I love Diddy because Diddy is a mad f-ing scientist.
Okay.
You know, he's a mad scientist. Like, I don't know. It works every time it works. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there was this moment where the show took a turn for me. I feel like when you guys moved in that house and it was the five of you, you kind of, like you guys had made the group was all done. it was almost like, all right, now you all are going to go in the studio. You're going to record this part. You're going to try this part, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't like it was set up. I almost felt like it was set up for you guys to then try to crush each other before the journey even really started.
We were the first of reality, really. So there were no scripts. They put us like rats in a maze and said, go. And we were competitors, and then we had to become artists together. So it was already going to be difficult. You can't expect a sisterhood. I mean, girl groups have been together forever, failed, even when they were friends and sisters. We were competitors and then had to figure that out. What I will say, though, is I think you're right in the sense that we were talented. We just needed more time to evolve as sisters. The amount of time we put in to be competitors, we had to figure each other out as sisters, and we couldn't. We were immediately thrown in it, but it built strength. You know, like, I'm very grateful for this process because I don't think I would have been able to be the artist that I am now, create the music that I'm creating now, as the artist that I am now, had I not had that journey, right? Because not only did I have Danny Decane, I had Dirty Money too. So like, I had multiple opportunities, and I think we all were, in this thing as females, that competitiveness, that way, that trigger that we have has created us to be what we are now. We were never built long enough to sustain, you know, like we weren't built to love each other. We were built to be competitors and then somehow create an authentic bond. And that's with different races. Cause so that's culturally, we're on all different pages. Financial equity, everything. We're just different. We come from different lives. And then we're supposed to figure all of that out. That's just not realistic. I think we did a good job for however long we lasted.
Let's say making the band where they found Aubrey and Andrea, and then you had making the band where you guys got together. Do you think if you would have had a year or two after that to just not be on camera?
I think we needed a new manager. We needed a new team, new everything. Like,
you needed
like,
just a whole new fresh.
It's like you walk into life and they say, we didn't get to choose our manager, our team, nothing. We walked into a line, we made a band, and then we received this stuff, right? So like, we didn't even have access to people who genuinely knew who we were or wanted. So, you know, the truth is, I think had we had a team we could pick, had we had an opportunity to not live on camera and actually like sustain ourselves as people, that would have worked. There were too many components, variables, because when a camera's on you, you have to worry about your image, your vibe, how you say things. So you can't even have private moments. You can't. So that's that. And then, man, it's just too much. Like, if anything, what I've realized is going independent and being DIY, like how I am now, it showed me the trajectory, like the literal hardships we had with all of that. Yeah. Right. Because now to take your creative control and rein it in with like, so for example, me 8 years as an independent artist, I've been able to take creatively the control over my career. I get to pick the team. I get to have a say in how I want to write as a writer, to produce my own albums. I get to be able to line up with, like, for example, Second Line, I just came out. I was able to finally be seen as a producer, take the reins on showing my city and the culture of it. And showing, we didn't get
Jacuzzi
any of that.
Jacuzzi is my
Thank you so much.
Jacuzzi is my
We that freedom, right? So like, no one would have known us as we are. It was multiple components, not just one thing. It wasn't like we said, we're going to implode and it's on. Yeah, we had our issues. We own it. It was all of our fault. We all didn't do the things we needed to do, but it was beyond that. There were just
the foundation was not built to sustain five different personalities.
Right. Like, it was cool for television, but the truth was we were actually great together, but we didn't get a chance to facilitate that. Like,
it's like a movie set. I mean, you watch a TV show and you see the house, and the house that the family at Family Matters grew up in, or the house that the Brady's grew up in was great. But when you got on the set and you got behind the scenes and you realized that it was just stick, it was
nothing. Yeah,
it was just that's the truth.
Yeah, like I have a record that I did called Castles off of my Blackheart album, and it speaks about how Danny Decane was built out of sand. We built castles out of sand. A sand castle is beautiful, but as soon as the little wind blow, as soon as the water comes through, gone. So it's unfair to name one girl and say everybody. We're mouthy and we're a lot, and that's true. But every girl, don't get this twisted. Every girl band, every boy group, Paul McCartney to the Beatles, but it has to be a stability. And the truth of it is, we never started stable. We never started, like, they didn't think we would go that far. I don't think, and they thought it'd be a really good television show. They never thought we would actually create something that was, you know, sturdy enough in the art realm, right? An incredible album, or they didn't expect us to be writers or producers. You know, they didn't.
What was the first album?
Danny DeKane. It was self-titled. And the second one was Welcome, which I love.
Welcome to Dollhouse.
And so, then the DK3 album.
Do you have a first?
That's on the Danny DeKane self-titled album.
And then everybody, I mean, Lemonade was.
Yeah, that's DK3. That was when we were back together. Yeah, with Tyga. Yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What advice would you give somebody who is about to be put with four people that they don't know?
I don't give advice because I clearly am a hot mess, and don't listen to nobody. Nobody know what they're doing. That's the truth. And even the big ones, everybody's out here trying to figure it out. Follow your own path. Make like real, real truth. Like, don't listen to nobody who says this is what you should do because they guess their whole way there in the process. I have no idea, because obviously what I did not work, because I am not in a girl group anymore. I am.
You made three hit albums.
And I would still be in those. I personally consider myself still in those in those groups, because I love those groups and I will always work with those groups. I love my groups, you know, both the same. So I would always work with Danny DeKane or Dirty Money. I've never not wanted to work with them. I would totally do it any day. But I think for me right now, I've been really able to solidify myself as a solo artist. And that was something that I never would have thought I would have done. And I worked really hard to get here as a Black indie artist, to really, you know, open up a lane where Black girls are not seen, right? I always saw pop culture and electronic and pop and dance as a space for Black women. It's interesting that when I was in Danny DeKane, records like Damage, which is a dance record, that's a dance EDM 4-to-4 record, was accepted the way it was, with ad libs and runs all through it. But the moment I got out of a group of white, the moment I got out of a group that was predominantly white, I wasn't being respected in the same space that I grew up in as a Black woman.
So it's weird, because it is very interesting. And I often say this a lot about Kelly Rowland, did this whole pop dance immersion.
And culturally, we didn't support her.
And culturally, we didn't support it. The UK,
they loved her.
The UK loved it. She was the Beyonce of the UK.
And I was,
she was a superstar.
Yeah, and I know that same journey because I've had it too. And Donna Summer before that, in disco, and so on and so forth. So like, I think it's an interesting thing. The wild thing, you know, Kelly, again, because she was able to be with predominantly Black group, she still had a holding of under, like, someone saying, okay, you're beautiful as a Black woman in this space. Whereas I feel like when you're in a predominantly multiracial group, Black, it's even worse, because you're sitting in the group succeeding, doing the records that you're doing, even so much as writing them. And the lie in your mind is like, okay, well, obviously we're rocking because I'm singing these records and I'm doing all this. But as soon as you leave that group, those same people that say that they love you, they don't love you
don't
as
support
much
it.
Because you now don't fit into that thing. So now as a Black woman, you become alternative R&B or trying too hard, or that's not good music and I don't like you making that music, which the same people say, why you can't be the old person? I didn't change. I'm making the same records that I made in that. Like, if that person sings
that
record,
it just looks different.
Right. But if for some reason the validation happens when a Black girl stands next to non-Black artists, then you are received as a pop artist. But the moment you take a chocolate girl away from those moments,
100%.
You're not the same. And I had to learn that as an independent artist, because I continued my journey into the electro pop space and found it very difficult to really receive support. For the same records that if I gave it to my group, they would do well in it.
My favorite EDM song is sung by a Black woman.
Mm-hmm.
And this song would come on every time. I didn't know what EDM music was. I had never been to a rave. You know, to me, when I was growing up in Brobridge, Louisiana, that EDM music was white people music.
Which is crazy, but because dance music comes from Detroit and Chicago.
Yes.
It's house music. It's black.
It's house music.
Where we started.
Seeing Sonique. Go-go,
you know, bounce is dance.
Yeah. So what dance is dance.
So we say rap, but that's not the truth. Bounce, Frida, Katy Ray, and all of them, that's dance music, just like ballroom. That's all under the category dance.
Yes, yes.
But nobody told us that.
No one told us. But do you remember that song? Your loving feels so good, and that's what takes me high.
Yeah.
Lighting up in me. And it was a black woman.
Wanna be my lover.
It's so crazy because, but in the videos, black, you never see the black lady living her life. LaBouche. Yeah. Mm-hmm. LaBouche.
Yeah. You know? So yeah, it's real. It's real. And so we haven't even, we that's a discussion that needs to be had, because culturally dance and electronic music comes from queer community, black culture in Detroit, go-go music and house music from Chicago and Detroit. That's where it started. That's just the truth. Detroit house music is what started the wave of house and dance.
Wow.
I always wanted to be a part of that. And I thought that because I had my introduction into pop music with Danny D. Kane, that it would be a beautiful transition to then go into the culturally and just sonically, but where I went as an independent artist. But I found that the more artistic I got and the more innovative I got, the harder it was for people to see it. So now with this new album, I'm finally getting, my albums have all been critically acclaimed, thanks to Pitchfork and the love that it's gotten. But I've never been able to break back into a wider range because of that.
Well, it's the Grace Jones syndrome,
right?
You know what I mean? I see you perform, it's very Grace Jonesy. It's very performative. It's very avant-garde. It's out of the box. And I feel like, unfortunately for Grace Jones, she never really got her roses until after the fact. Now we're watching another coming of Grace Jones. And I say this because the costuming that you wear, the sound of your music is so different. The way you move on stage is so like nothing I've ever seen, except in a Grace Jones moment. And you're having this and you're exploring this for people, yet no one's really appreciating it. But I want to tell you that, hold on.
Yeah,
because Grace Jones has to do the same thing.
Yeah, and I'm okay with it. I don't need the validation. I used to, because I was so confused as to why it did, you know, people didn't see the beauty of what we were doing, because my peers who were not black were receiving the same, what I always think about, it's interesting, Gaga's Lord. Lord is another one, right? Lord. When she dances, it's very erratic, and they love her for it. But if we do it, there's an interesting dynamic where in pop culture, we've allowed, non-black artists to have a wide range of pop. Right, dark pop, synth, Alana Del Rey, to a Lord,
to Billie Eilish,
to a Dua Lipa, to a Billie Eilish, right? Whereas we don't give our culture, our black culture, the same love to stretch the gambit of it, not just being R&B or hip hop. And I want to just introduce something beautiful, because I think there's an opportunity to support more of the girls outside of the genres and spaces that you would normally see us.
But let me ask you a question.
Go for it.
Because you've been in the boardrooms, you've talked to the A&R people, you've done all the things, and obviously you didn't agree with it because you wouldn't be indie artists if you did. But do you feel like there are black executives there that are saying, take a chance on this, or are they saying, that's not really where we want to be?
I think that the executives don't want to be that. Yeah, I've tried it. I was with major labels, and they just didn't get it. I would have stayed with Bad Boy or Puff and them if they would have, as a solo artist, if he would have just said, okay, I believe in you and let's get it. But they were like, nobody's going to sign you doing this type of music. I don't agree with it in the sense that, like, no, I think that there are executives that just, it's no disrespect to us. It's not even personal. I just think executives go where the trend is. If it's trendy, they'll rock with it. But nobody could tell me that they would have said Billie Eilish was, if just looking at Billie, that had been like superstar. Because the truth is they wouldn't. If she wore those baggy clothes with that green hair, and if a black girl that looked like that walked in the room and it was like, yep, that they would have said, nah, it's now that Never Billie is what she is. They would definitely take a chance on another artist looking like that. But the truth is that they won't love the artist being that until a black girl
somebody
comes
else
up.
Does.
And then they'll be like, we need it, right? So that's just the truth of it. And that was kind of my trajectory. Nobody said I would last this long, but yet here I still am. And now they told me 8 years ago, being indie was not like, you know, you can't survive being indie. I'm 8 years indie. And now indie is the cool thing, right? Now all the artists are independent. They leave in their major labels. Yeah. So like,
and they're finding success.
Success.
More than, I mean, you have people popping off on SoundCloud,
TikTok,
you have
SoundCloud,
girls, TikTok, you know, doing the most.
Look at Lil Nas X, his whole come up.
Lil Nas X, his whole come up.
He's a whole different thing, right? And now they want more Lil Nas X's, right? But if someone would have said, we want to, if a gay, beautiful, queer man came in and said, I want to be naked on SNL and I want to rock, they would have been like, we're never signing you, ever.
No.
Now,
girl, they would have never.
Honey, he's giving you malfunction and PP out and everything.
He's giving you Janet. He's giving you Janet on the Super Bowl.
Poland penis. Poland penis, honey. He's giving Poland penis and living for the kids.
Yes. Janet ran so Lil Nas X can run.
His balls could run. Yeah.
Yeah, so his balls can run out of his pants.
Yes. So, you know, it is what it is. And that's real. And so it's no dish. I don't take offense to it, but that I think the executives just don't want to take that chance until they feel like somebody else. It blew up for them and then they go, you know, and do it.
Yeah.
And at the time, there wasn't anybody really doing that for it to be popular enough for someone to say, I'm gonna take a chance on this chick. Meanwhile, my counterparts, people who I love, because my peers to me are the Purity Rings, the Grimes, St. Vincent, those really cool Little Dragon. Yeah, like these are the people that I want to be able to sit next to with my peers.
Southwest.
Yeah, and they have labels that support them. And I just would love, I wish we had more black labels saying, yo, let's look at these alt artists and let's take a chance. Like, where are the black labels that have mainly alternative artists and pioneering for them? They're out there, but we should give more love to that because, you know, it's out there. And
you better get that money and start that label. You better get that money and start that label.
I am indie, so let me get those first, and then I'll follow through on the follow through. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm very grateful because, like I said, we talked about making the band. It took me. I look at my peers and I look around and I'm very grateful that I'm still rocking, you know, and I think a lot of that has to do with being from NOLA, from the boot, you know, where our survival rate is just like, you know, we keep going, you know, and we keep pushing.
100%. Yeah. I don't know people who, I don't know, and maybe this is a South Central LA type of conversation. This might be a Chicago kind of conversation, but I also feel like I can speak for New Orleans. When you think about loss and you think about hard times and you watch people bury somebody one day and return to work the next day. And because they have to feed their families, like that's the kind of that we grew up around.
Right.
You know, my mother was like, no one's stopping. Like we gonna all lend a hand, make sure your kids are good, make sure you're eating while you're working. But you keep it going and we're going to rock it. We're not going to let one thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because the worst thing you can do in New Orleans.
Yeah.
The worst thing you can do in Louisiana in the ghetto.
Yeah.
Is go and come back. You can't go and come back.
You can't sit still. You can't stay. You gotta go. You gotta keep moving. And so for me, that's what this album, that's why Sec is called a second line, right? Because the truth is, even in death, we dance.
We dance.
Even in sorrow, we dance, right? And even in the second, because the second line is normally, the reason why I named the album a second line is because if you're not from New Orleans, Louisiana, you don't know a second line usually happens. It's a parade during the funeral.
Google it.
You celebrate the legacy of someone's death by dancing with brass bands and you hit the streets and you dance to their legacy. And I think we've always approached death differently, just like we always approach loss and hurt differently. Instead of being bitter, we put them shoes on and we hit that
No. And you don't need a permit, boo. You don't need a permit, boo. All you need is a handkerchief.
We're a handkerchief and an umbrella, baby, and we'll give you life. And that's what this, okay? That's what this album embodies. And, you know, and it's a futuristic approach to it. So lending a hand again to that pop culture, but also, you know, showing New Orleans in a different light. But in the end, right, it's the dance. In the end, it's always been about the dance. And the truth is, since the line, since Orlando, I have been dancing through every part of it. Wow. Homelessness to the loss of my cancer, my father being diagnosed with cancer, to losing my grandfather in Katrina, to losing my grandmother, to losing both groups, not one, but twice, losing a group that I would never have left. All that loss, I'm still dancing, you know, and I think a lot of people can relate to that, especially coming from the South, because through it all, we still take a chip out. We just
Girl, I'm gonna bring you to the UK, bitch. I'm gonna bring you to the UK and drop you there, boo. Because these British people get it.
Yeah, I've been there. But
did you watch the Tina documentary? Did you watch the Tina documentary?
Still, we haven't given her flowers. Yeah.
How crazy was it?
Yeah.
That Tina Turner was right here in our own backyard.
And we wouldn't give her the time.
And we wouldn't give her the time.
No.
And then at 40 years old, she flew her ass across the pond. Mm-hmm. Made an album with British people.
Right. And they gave her the love.
And they gave her the love. And it was because we couldn't get out of our own ways. We couldn't give Tina Turner what she needed. And she needed a voice. And she just needed a moment. And I hate that. I hate that Kelly Rowland had to go and do Commander over there and had to do When Love Takes Over over there. I hate it. I really do. I hate it.
Yeah, so we'll
I hate that Deborah Cox had to do a dance version. How did we get here in order to like get her?
Yeah, but that's okay. We'll change. You got to keep going and change it. And that's what I'm trying to do. That's always what you named Khalees, another one who created a sound and was ahead of her time. We can go on and on about Fifi Dobson as an alternative rock girl that we paid dust to. And she was she was the counterpart to Avril Lavigne. And we didn't give her any. Like Fifi, we didn't give her any flowers. It's been an interesting journey for Black, for Black women who are in spaces that are new for us. And I think we, as culturally, it's time for us to start talking about it. It's shame on us. We have to start first.
Shame on us. Shame
on us. Culturally, have to start supporting, and not just one. We get excited for one girl, and we're like, we're gonna go for that one girl. No, it has to be multiple girls. We have to give just as much love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And all, for all you girls out there who didn't know, when Khalees Milkshake was the bitch, I'm telling you, Milkshake was everything.
When she was screaming on a track.
Oh, yeah. 4th of July.
Yeah.
Go ahead and Spotify 4th of July and let me know what y'all think.
And get your life.
And get your.
But that's what I'm saying. So, like, again, like, we've got to do a better job of saying, okay. We do need R&B and we do need, you know, rap and hip hop. That is a part of us that we'll never not. But we created all of this, like the sign, we are the base of all of this. So if we're not respecting the Black girls in heavy metal and in alternative rock and in country and in dance, then shame on us. We should be able to see ourselves in all spaces. And that's really what I'm trying to do, especially my last 8 years as a solo artist, is showing everyone that a girl from the South can find her place.
Can do it, honey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And do it and do it and do it well. I want to find $500,000. I want to find, you know, 1.5 from this person and just give you the cash and let you start this label and let's make this money. Like, I'm just saying, look, my mind is going a mile a minute trying to figure out who to hook you up with to like make this all happen.
Yeah.
This is airing throughout Pride Month.
Yes. Which, love my gays.
A bitch. And the gays are here for you.
I wouldn't even have a career. I wouldn't even have a career. I don't even make music for nobody but the gays. Everybody else, they could, you know, they'll come. They can come along, but my gays is my family.
The gays will enter the group chat even when we don't know what's about to happen. But because you were so good in the last group chat, we're going to enter this one.
They have developed this culture. We steal everything from the gays, and we need to start acknowledging that our vernacular, everything, the way we walk, the way we talk, everything is gays. And if we're being very specific, the Black gays. So let's really like talk about the truth of what it is, and give love to the queer community. Yeah, absolutely. Stop just saying it in a cute little package and then copying it, but actually like recognize and spread love to all trans, 100%. Gay, LGBTQIA+. Yeah.
I tell all my girlfriends, I'm like, when you jam in formation, and you're out there and you're jamming formation, and it's the sissy walking, the twerking. You know, when Beyonce did the thing with Solange at homecoming, with tap your knees, ladies, tap, tap, tap. That's all New Orleans. And it is all, if I can find those femme gay queens who were in the club, sissy boo, and do the sissy boo.
And that was high school, baby. We was in dresses and at prom on our in a handstand. Don't act like you don't know.
Look, okay, it's everybody, not- okay. I'm going to take y'all back to Spotify.
Can't see.
You're going to type in DJ Jubilee.
Come on.
And I don't care if you were in your own coffin.
Listen.
At your motherfucking wake. Listen. If you heard, come on.
Get it ready.
Yes!
Check this out. Talk that stuff now. Or, look at that weed. Look at that line.
Sing a little higher. Oh my God.
Come on.
Me and my girl, Dee. What I loved about bounce music and that New Orleans dance was the one thing I loved about it was, no matter who you were, no matter if you were straight, if you were gay, if you were from Magnolia Projects, and you were from this place, when those songs came on, it didn't matter where you were. It was a party. And you all knew the dance moves, and every neighborhood had a little spin on it. Every neighborhood had one little spin on it.
Every wall had a different thing, because if you're from the 9 wall, the 7 wall, you do a little 17, you do something a little different. Absolutely. It was love, and it was something very natural, like very natural to us to hit the floor and pop and twerk and shake your ass. It was not a sexual thing. It was just a fact. To have trans artists that were huge to us in bounce music was like my favorite artist started out as trans artists, because it was the Messy Mayas, the Katie Reds. So most of the time, queer culture was dictating our music right there in New Orleans. So we were already
100%
very aware of what that was. And like, so just to see it now and to see it coming from where, my only sadness is that I wish it came more from us and less from people who are not from where we're from. Because we love it when it's on. We love when someone else wears the sweater instead of giving love to the people who made it, you know, sew the sweater themselves.
If you would know the fashions in New Orleans in the 90s, before it was popping,
the earrings, the gold
teeth, hair. We've been colored stripes and multi. Yes, the swoop with the waterfall,
the freeze,
with the barrel curl, with the pin curl.
I had a barrel curl.
To be gay in the streets of New Orleans was not easy, but to be gay in the clubs of New Orleans, you were a f-ing king.
Was to be king.
It was like the one moment where you could actually just let it out, and people were sweating dancing, and it was where you got praise. Like, I remember going to a wedding dance in Louisiana, like there's a reception, and after reception, at night, you drop your kids off, and there's the other thing called a wedding dance. And then you get raunchy. And, you know, it's a circle. Everything is a circle. Mm-hmm. So a song comes on, and you see, you know, there's always Al. Al was the gay dude in the neighborhood. Al would get it ready. And people would crowd around Al and Al up and throw money at Al. Mm-hmm. And it was like, and Al would start the party, and no one ever made fun of him. No one said, look at that Al. Mm-mm. But when Al was himself outside of a club or outside of music, Al had to run for his life.
Right. And let's talk about the truth of it. And so like, that's something that culturally we have to do a better job of. And so that's why I say now, if we're going to recognize the gatekeepers and take their like, make sure we give love to the gatekeepers, because their lives were not easy. Their stories are their own, and they're difficult. So if we're going to take it, pay homage well, gravel at their feet, lay prostrate to them, because they have given us the way to be able to speak what we speak. You know, don't just say, we love the gays, and you know, no, you have to give love. And that's why I've been very dedicated to my movement, and very grateful to the people who have rocked with me since the very beginning. And that's why I take always going back to my group seriously. I will never not say no to Danity Kane, because I know what Danity Kane was for a lot of the gays in the community, and how they loved us and respected us. And so I will never take any of those things for granted, because I know that they are my biggest motivator, or the largest influence. Always be an ally. Always.
My God. I just got transported back home. I can taste the etouffee in my mouth. With all bitch, I can feel the boudin skin. Yeah, I can feel the boudin skin.
Listen, the turkey that you see up in that crawfish barrel, because that turkey neck that sit up in that, you know, that hot pickle.
Remember going to the skate ring, and there were always dance contests at the skate ring.
I used to go to skate country, bitch. You couldn't tell us nothing. And listen, oh my God, that blue ring. Listen,
let me tell you something. Your mama would say this. This is what your mama would say. Hey, because you know what? You would always go with a group of. It was always the same pack. You always went with the same pack to the skate zone. So on a Friday night, when your mama just got off of work, you'd have to be like, okay, you ask your mama to drop us, and I'm gonna ask my mama to pick us up. But it's like, no. My mama picked us up last time. She ain't gonna pick us up. Let's ask your mama to pick us up, and we're gonna lie and say, blah, blah. So you go up to your mama and you'd be like, hey, can you drop us off at the skate zone? Who going? How much money you need? And it'd be like, who picking y'all up? Well, let me talk to her to make sure she gonna pick
Listen,
y'all
my
asses
parents
up.
Dropped us off, and it would be right. You don't want your mama to come in with the slippers into the thing and get you and have the guy call you. Dawn, Richard, could you please come to the front of the dance?
Or your mama told you to be ready at 10:30, and you know it ended at 11, 10:25, you better be outside.
My mom did that to me all the time, like in the dance too. The DJ would be like, hello,
yes. Dawn. Yes. My mother would be like, if you make me get out of this car in my motherfucking robe, and I'd be like, no, I'm not gonna be late. We are not gonna be late.
But you'd be
my
having a good time, and they always play PNC. They always play Jubilee right before you bounce. You gotta get all the dance moves in. You'd be sweating.
But you always had that one hoe friend.
Always.
You would lose.
There was always that one hot one. Mm-hmm. We had multiple.
Uh-huh. You would say, that girl hot, she fast, she a hot one. She hot in the draws.
We had a black, a brown, and a red. Say red. We had a brown, and then we had a black. You know what, when a fella's talking, say black, say red.
Yes, yes.
Say brown.
And I used to love going to the barbershop because the most is talked at a black.
Oh, always about everybody. You know about everybody business in the barbershop.
Ooh, everybody. But you had to wait there because even though your appointment's at 9, Ravna was going to take you at 12:45.
You pick your number because they had the number of the haircuts on the thing. You get your number 2, a fair.
And then you pick, and you're mad.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And you're mad because you're like, can this bitch stop talking and just do this hair so I can get the hair? Y'all don't even know. And by the way, you used to get a weave back in the day. You're paying $400 or $500.
No, you used to get it for but they used to get it for like $80.
$80 with the hair included. And everything. By the way,
installation and everything. You hear me? Absolutely. Absolutely.
I am so mad right now that you and I, like, I'm just I can smell the hair burning from.
I can smell the peroxide. I remember you used to get your dye your hair, and they would do the peroxide. You would put the bleach in, and your hair would be in colors. It would go from orange to yellow to green to blue.
Wait, I'm gonna blow your head up. I'm gonna blow your head up right now. Watch me blow your head up. Do you remember when you were young and your mama would never let you color your hair, so you would take the Kool-Aid packet and you would dye your hair with the Kool-Aid packet?
I had the tips done, baby, berry blue. You know what I'm saying?
You guys don't even know what it was like growing up in Louisiana. And getting a po' boy sandwich after church.
Sausage. And here's the thing. So in Louisiana, in New Orleans especially, we have a huge Vietnamese culture. So like you don't know nothing until you get your ring pierced into your nails for when you get the ring pierced and you got that dangle.
You didn't know Mm-mm. what it was like until you got that ring piercing on that finger.
And that
little
one to hang, because that's when you had extra money for that day.
Hold on. Which one of your aunts had the martini glass?
And the gold tooth. Absolutely.
Yes.
My papa had it too. He had a curl. He had the S curl and then he and the gold tooth with the caddy hat. Absolutely. And he had a cane that was a sword.
You guys, how many times did your grandmother tell you, if you come in this damn house one more time, you're going to have to take a nap? Stop letting the air out of this house.
Say, don't waste that air condition, baby. Listen, oh, I love my city. Oh, I love
you. Don't you love your city? Don't you love that? By the way, you love that you don't even remember having a car seat or putting on a seatbelt?
No.
Or that people didn't bring an ice chest in a car when you went on long road trips? Like, isn't that crazy?
No, it's this real life. It's what it is. And that's like, that's the, like, all of that reminiscing, all that good stuff is what makes us who we are and what makes that city so special. This in Louisiana special. And literally, for real, y'all, if y'all haven't gotten this, like, I just got reacquainted with, you know, back home after 10 years for Katrina. So I've been home for like four years now. And that's why my music has really been speaking to me, and like why these albums are meaning so much, is because I'm revisiting the feeling that I feel all this stuff and trying to figure out how to put it into the albums musically, because I don't think people really realize how like culturally rich, you know, our state is and what we embody. And so it's just really good to talk to you about like this type of stuff, because I don't think people realize like how rich and wealthy. We may not be a rich city. We may be a poor city. You know, we've gone through a lot, but man, do we have culture, you know?
Damn. You guys, check out and stream Dawn on Spotify, on Apple Music, wherever you get your music. You do not want to miss
this. Her new album. Second Line. It's out now.
It's out now. It's my city. It's my state. It's my culture. It's my memories. If you guys want to understand me more, if you guys need to Google what we were talking about in this whole thing, please do.
Check it out. Yeah.
I'm about to cry. I had such a great moment. I love you so much. Thank you.
Yeah. This is beautiful. That's it. I love you. I will sip always with you.
You guys, thank you so much for taking the sip. I am so happy you got to experience that. Please subscribe, write, rate, review. Let us know what you like, what you didn't like. Send this to a friend who may be from Louisiana, who may understand what we were talking about today. Or send this to an artist who is looking for that big label. This might give them a little bit of hope that they can do this on their own. And we'll see you next week for another episode of Just a Sip. Don't forget to follow me at Justin A. Sylvester. You guys have a good afternoon.